What's happening, people? Welcome back to the Rotobond podcast. Pete Davidson here on a Saturday, so we're talking DFS. It's James Brown bringing us in with Papa Don't Take No Mess. And this is a week to not take any mess. And there's like a double meaning on that. First of all, I'd be careful of too much outside analysis this week. And I'm not saying do what I say. I'm saying do what you think. This is a week where there's so many good plays. There's so many ways you could go that if you sit there and take down like the best options from 10 different sources, you're going to end up with a huge amount of plays on your board, and it's going to be hard to focus on what you really want to do. At least that's the way I play, and that's what would happen to me. So don't let your board become a mess, I guess is sort of what I'm saying. And this is going to be a quick podcast. We're doing part A now. Part B will come tomorrow. I'm going to be out this afternoon. The rankings update will probably be in the early evening. And I'm going to be continuing to hone my board, trying to get that reduction that I seek. What we're going to do here, pretty quickly, this is going to be about a 20-minute podcast, and then I'll probably come back with another 20 minutes tomorrow. We're just going to go through what I'm looking at now at each position, and you know, just sort of a some general thoughts on the board. But this is going to be quick. And we're going to focus on quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, receivers. Not going to really get into defense or anything like that. Not going to get too much into lineup construction things. I'm not walking the slate or anything like that. So let's jump over and start with the quarterbacks. So I've got 8 quarterbacks that are sort of on my board right now. I'm definitely going to reduce that. And a couple of them are sort of flights of fancy, if you will, like Joe Flacco, Luke Falk, Chase Daniel. I'm sort of looking at those 3 guys and deciding, do I want to get funky in a GPP with one of them? Probably not. And Flacco's probably more, single entry, small tournament kind of stuff. But just that whole offense is sort of underpriced, so I'm messing around with that a little bit. But primarily I'm looking at 5 guys. It's Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Carson Wentz, and Matt Ryan is sort of the board I'm looking at quarterback. Obviously, Mahomes is on Monday night. He would be in consideration otherwise. And Lamar Jackson at Pittsburgh, very expensive. So I'm probably not going to have tons of Lamar lineups, but certainly in a GPP, I want to get some Lamar action going. I don't think he's going to be my cash quarterback. Right now, I've got Wentz in cash. I'm not sure if that's going to last. I think Kyler is also an option in cash. I think Ryan is an option in cash. And if you really want to get funky, Andy Dalton conceivably could be an option in cash, but I don't think I'm going to go there. That's sort of where I'm at with quarterback. Lamar, we understand. It's the foot point thing. Same thing with Deshaun. And I like that Atlanta-Houston game for its ability to get crazy. I'm not predicting it will, but I think it's certainly got that ability. And when you look at it, really all we need is for the Falcons to play well. You know, I think Houston's going to score points in this game. So that's really where I'm at with the quarterbacks. There's no need to dig in too deep with this stuff. Obviously, if I'm putting Ryan into GPP, there's no way I'm not putting Julio with him. Kyler Murray, you stack him with Fitz. I think that's easy. I excuse the horn honking going on outside my house. All right, that's a little better. Just took a couple seconds break there, let it calm down a little bit. Amazing people honking their horns on a Saturday afternoon. It's the level of entitlement in this town sometimes gets a little funny. Let's move over to the running backs. Christian McCaffrey's on my board. I don't know if I'm actually going to have any of him. I think Ramsey being out actually helps. Obviously it doesn't help McCaffrey. He's not going to be on Ramsey, but it's just going to help Carolina move the football in general, which opened things up for McCaffrey. So he wasn't really on my board, and now he is. 8,700 units. I'm probably going to be light on him. I'll probably have him in a GPP or two just in case, because he does have that ability to just go off at any moment and put up monster scores. So McCaffrey, I think, is in play. I like Cook more at 8,400 against the Giants, personally. I think Zeke is a safe play at 8,300 against Green Bay. And as I said in the lineup rankings, the matchup works for Zeke probably better than anyone on the team. Although it's not exactly an easy matchup for Zeke. It's really a matter of Dallas. If Dallas can read this correctly, a lot of Zeke up the middle could really work. But we'll see how that works out. The running back I'm really jazzed up on after Cook is David Johnson. 7,500 units in a game where the defense, I think, is ripe for the taking. The team is a little bit on, you know, on its heels. They're sort of ready to be knocked over. And this is a game where I think the volume is going to be really high. So I think David Johnson definitely at 7,500 units this week is going to be in a lot of my lineups. He is in my cash lineup right now. I'm not sure if I'm sort of hemming and hawing on that, but I think I'm probably going to keep him in. I think Eckler at 6,700 is a good sneaky kind of play. Leonard Fournette at 6,400, you're getting a lot of volume, and suddenly that game could get a little bit more intense in terms of snaps, because I think Carolina is going to move the ball better. One play I really like, and I haven't heard a lot of people on this. Granted, I don't listen all that much, but Joe Mixon at 6,100 for the same, pretty much the same reasons as David Johnson. I think he's priced well, but I think this game's going to be sneaky from a pace perspective. I think people paying attention to pace realize this. People who don't pay any attention at all to pace probably don't realize that this is sort of fertile ground. They sort of see two bad teams, let's move on. But there's certainly a chance that we see a lot of plays in this game. Derrick Henry's on my board simply because he's got a lot of upside for GPPs. I think I want to dabble in Derrick Henry. I don't want to get heavily involved. Aaron Jones is just sort of a price-considered option. 59 seems really cheap for him. Granted, Dallas is a pretty good defense, but, you know, Green Bay doesn't have a lot of options to Aaron Jones this week. Williams is out again. He should be getting 80% of the touches. I think that's conservative. So just from the standpoint of this guy should be 20 touches, I think he's worth something at 5,900 units, conceivably a cash option, but I think the matchup is a little bit too tough, and I've got other options I just like more. Same kind of thing, David Montgomery, 5,200 units. I never really like playing guys who are playing in London, but great matchup. He hasn't really done much with the touches, but the touches are on the rise. I think Montgomery's a sneaky play this week, and I'm definitely going to have some GPPs with him, maybe a lot. I haven't quite figured out how to get him into my cash lineups because I usually end up having to take someone out I like. So I haven't worked him into cash. I think both of the Philadelphia running backs, I haven't figured out how I want to play them or even if I want to play them, but I know that I should be thinking about it because they're both inexpensive. The Eagles are going to beat the Jets like a dog. I mean, this thing's going to be over. It really could be over by the end of the first quarter. And the thing I need to figure out is what will Philly do in a game where they just need to kill out the clock? My gut keeps taking me to Jordan Howard because Miles Sanders is a fumbler. The problem is if the game is so out of hand that a fumble won't even hurt them, then maybe they get the rookie some work. I'm sort of torn between those two elements. If I can come up with a feeling where I feel good about one or the other, I may indulge in some Philly running backs just because I think this game is going to be such a blowout. They're going to have to go to the running backs. Philip Lindsay just feels cheap at 4,900 units. There's too many running backs I like more, but I keep looking at that 4,900 unit price, and I'm like, man, I want to get a little Lindsay. So I'm just sort of throwing that out there. Let's jump over to the tight ends. And I'm going to spend a little time here, even though I don't want to, because there's nothing really that's at all fun about the tight ends this week. Evan Ingram, 5,800 units, sort of sticks out. We can't play Kelsey and we can't play Kittle because they're off the main slate. So Ingram is sort of the guy who sticks out. But man, I don't really like this Minnesota matchup. There's so much that can go wrong. I mean, certainly Ingram's going to be targeted. Certainly he's going to have some receptions. But for him to pay off at that price tag, I think he either needs big plays or touchdowns. Minnesota might be able to keep that from happening. So I'm not going to be particularly heavy on Evan Ingram. Darren Waller, I think from a volume perspective, works. But at 5K against the Bears, again, I don't see much touchdown upside here, so I'm not really excited. Mark Andrews at 4,800 units, he's definitely worth a look. I mean, I'm definitely putting him in my LJ stacks. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The problem with Andrews is we're just worried that foot's going to get, you know, sort of heated up and he could be out of the game quickly. But he's definitely a guy I'm going to continue to look at. Austin Hooper's matchup is mediocre for tight ends. He's been playing well, certainly cost viable at 4,500. Jimmy Graham, 4,300. It just feels so incredibly gross. But without Devontae Adams in there, the fact that Rodgers has shown a penchant to look for Graham at times, you know, he could be looking at a 7-8 target kind of game here. Certainly, if they can move the football, he's a red zone possibility. So, you know, again, as gross as it feels, Jimmy Graham at least has to be considered. And Greg Olsen is another one where at 4K, I don't really like Greg Olsen, but Jacksonville, now they'll be a little bit less tight end centric with Ramsey not there. This, you know, Ramsey being out opens up the receivers, which could hurt Olsen a little bit. But he's got to be considered viable at that price. Same thing with Delanie Walker, just $100 less at 3,900 units. I don't love Delanie Walker in this game, but he's home. The Bills, if they're going to give up shots, it's probably in the middle of the field. So I would be surprised if Walker didn't catch five passes here. Now, 5 for 55 yards is certainly something that we could be looking at. And that's not going to kill you, but it's not going to make you super happy either. Now, if he gets free, makes a big play, sneaks a touchdown, then it could pay off. And that's certainly not, I don't think that's too thin a proposition. So Walker, I think, is, you know, when you consider the price, probably one of the better options out there. Jared Cook at 3,400 hasn't really done a lot since Bridgewater came in. Obviously didn't do a whole lot really before Bridgewater was there. But the thing about Cook that I think is probably not getting enough talk, and man, I mean, you guys know, you know, far be it for me to talk up Jared Cook, but the bottom line is he runs routes that are within Bridgewater's circle of success. And I think at 3,400 units on a week where it's so hard to find anything we like, he has to be considered. Again, this is sort of my problem right now, is guys like Cook are jamming up my board. Probably he's off my board by tomorrow. Now, here are three guys that are interesting. Both of the Cincinnati tight ends, Eifert and Uzomah. Eifert at 3,300, Uzomah at 2,600. The 2,600 is really the part that I like about Uzomah, to be honest. But here's the thing. AJ Green's out. John Ross is out. We're going to talk in a little bit, and I've already talked this week about Auden Tate. But how many targets can Tyler Boyd and Auden Tate handle in a game where there might be a fair amount of targets? And now, I talked about Mixon. I like Mixon. Same kind of thing. They're going to need to feed Mixon and throw the ball to Mixon. They need to. Well, same kind of thing with these tight ends. Now, Uzomah hasn't been doing really anything, but he's out there on the field. He's playing snaps. And Arizona is just giving up tons of production to tight ends. I got to be honest. I haven't figured out how I want to deal with this, but I'm still mulling Eifert and Uzomah, trying to figure out if one of them is worth really targeting heavily. And then the other guy at tight end, who's just basically a pure cost saver at 2,800 units, is Noah Fant. He's been getting like four targets every single game all year. In a game like this, where the other team is missing its starting safety and has been giving up some plays, the fact that they've been working Fant into the process every week makes me think it'll just be the same thing, but maybe with a couple extra targets this week. So he has a chance to really pay off, but just understand, he's got a chance of catching one or two balls as well. So that's basically it for the tight ends. Now, that's the best I have this week, so you can see how uninspiring it is. Right now, my tight end in my cash lineup is Fant, just because I've got so much I like at the other positions. Paying down at tight end and getting a guy who I think is good for 5 points, I don't even hate it that much, which is sort of sad. Now let's get into these receivers, and there's way too many of them. I apologize. Now I'm going to start with the receivers at the top, with the more expensive guys, and I'm going to work down through the pricing. So we're just going to go from expensive to cheap, you know. And again, I sort of, I apologize here, but you know, right now I'm looking at over 20 receivers, and I'm definitely going to be hammering this thing down. And some of these guys I'll mention as I go through, some of them are already definitely going to be core guys, and some are just sort of floating. At the top, Hopkins and Julio, I'm definitely going to have some stacks with those guys. And then it's a matter of choosing which one of their quarterbacks I want to put in there. You know, and obviously, on both of those teams, there are other receivers we can consider, like Ridley and Fuller. I'm not going to get into the third receiver mess on the Texans. I like the first guys too much. And then both of the guys from Tampa, I think, are still in play, particularly Godwin. So I'm definitely looking at both of those guys. I don't know if I'm going to use either one of them outside of GPPs. New Orleans is a pretty good defense. They're playing better. But, man, the bottom line is Tampa Bay is concentrating so much in terms of targets between these two players. Neither one of them are priced at the ceiling. We have to give considerations to Evans and Godwin. I will have some Godwin in some lineups. I'm not sure how much. Amari Cooper, I think we have to at least consider at 6,800 in a game where they're going to be ahead. He tends to do well in home games. Man, I can't remember. Somebody, man, I want to give some attribution on that one, Amari in home games, but I can't remember who said it. Michael Thomas, I don't have him in any lineups yet, but I really like him at 6,600 units. Again, sort of like Cook, except he's good, very much in that range. His routes line up with what Bridgewater is throwing. So I feel like Michael Thomas is really a sneaky play this week, and I'm definitely going to get him into some GPPs. I'm considering him in cash. The problem is I'm trying to pay my receivers down in cash because there's so many running backs I'm trying to get in. Tyler Boyd, 6,500 units, is going to be showered with targets. He has to be considered. I think both of the Patriots' primary guys, Gordon and Edelman, are priced pretty well in a game that's probably going to be a massive blowout. The obvious concern is if the Patriots are running early, these guys could get shut out. So, like, you can't use them in cash, I don't think, but I think they're GPP viable. Larry Fitzgerald, love him at 6K. A little bit pricier than the guys I want to use in cash this week, so that's giving me some trouble, but definitely love Larry at 6K. Alshon Jeffrey versus the Jets at 5,900, I think makes sense. As long as they don't blow the Jets out too badly too early, he should have a pretty good day. Marquise Brown works well in Lamar Jackson stacks. I think both of the Green Bay receivers, MVS and Geronimo Allison, at cost makes sense. Obviously, there's a lot of options out there that feel better. What we're buying into here is target distribution changing in the wake of Davante Adams' injury. You know, playing Jimmy Graham, as I mentioned earlier before, may be a better way to approach that. But those guys have to at least be considered. DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, neither one sort of screaming play me, but I think with Jalen Ramsey out, they're suddenly in the mix. Both of Denver's starters, Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton, Sanders at 5,100 units, Sutton at 49. These guys are underpriced based on what we've seen from them so far, so I really like both of them. DJ Shark is in play. As I mentioned, Calvin Ridley's in play. I think the big two Patriots are in play, but I think Philip Dorsett in a GPP, although they finally priced him up, so there's not as much of a benefit to putting him in your lineup. One really sneaky GPP play this week that I think nobody will be on at 4,700 units, Nelson Agholor. It's not fun. That's sort of the point. Everybody's down on this guy. We've all watched him dropping that pass all week long. But the bottom line is the Jets don't have anybody to cover him. He's sitting there at under 5K, and DeSean Jackson's not playing again. So, like, Nelson Agholor would probably be 4 for 60 or something, but he could also be 5 for 150 with two touches. The Jets are that ripe for the taking. So, you know, I think Agholor is an interesting piece in a GPP. Cole Beasley, Allen is starting now. So I think Beasley at 4,600 is a nice, safe play. Robbie Anderson, I think people will now run away from him at light speed, but he's still got a great matchup. And I think Falk is mildly underrated. Deontay Johnson at 4,400 units in a game where they'll probably be trailing, I think is an interesting GPP play. Tough to really consider him in cash. If you're hurting in a cash lineup, Jamison Crowder for the Jets at 4,300, I think will get you 10 points or more. Randall Cobb, if you want to go down narrative street at 4,200, going against his old team. The only problem with this is that it really looks like Gallup is going to play now. In that same game, with Adams out, If we hear any positive vibes about Jake Kumerow, I think he's an interesting play at 3,800 units. If you don't want to play any of those other Packers plays that we talked about, then I think, like, if you think Graham's not going to do anything and Allison's not going to do anything and MVS isn't going to do anything, then you almost have to put Kumerow in your lineup. I mean, you almost have to, you know. Now, I do think those other guys will do something, but I think Kumerow is an interesting play if you don't mind taking a chance. Similar, very similar, actually, I think, is Mac Hollins. Like, if you don't think Aguilar is going to burn the Jets, you don't think Alshon Jeffrey is going to burn the Jets, then I think Mac Hollins probably will. And then our bargain basement play, better than a lot of these other plays, 3,500, and I'm not going to be the only person talking about this. We mentioned him in the waiver wire the last 2 weeks, is Auden Tate. Not a guy who's going to get you real excited. He's big, he's slow, he's fairly unexciting, but I'll tell you what he's really good at. He's really good at catching touchdowns, particularly against bad defenses, and this is a bad defense right now. So I think here's where Tate becomes interesting. If Cincinnati can move the football, and I think they probably can, if they just use Mixon and Boyd enough, if they use their best talent to move the football, once they're in that red zone area, inside, say, the 10, I think Auden Tate is a guy who could really score some touchdowns. Now, obviously, you've got Eifert as well. It's not like he's just the only option. But Auden Tate, in these tight situations, really wins at the catch point, and he's really good at showing himself to the quarterback. You know, I think at 3,500 units, he's cash viable, and I think in certain stacks for GPPs, like if you were doing a stack with some Cardinals, I think he would be viable. So Auden Tate's going to be a very popular play, but I think, for a reason, and I think for cash, he's viable. He's in my cash lineup now, and I will probably keep him there. Okay, so we walked through all position groups, and I know I actually said I wasn't going to get into defenses, but since I have a couple minutes here, I know I said I was going to do this in 20, but you know what? I actually have a little time. Let's just throw this in there. Because the defenses I want to play are pretty well defined. I don't have any super great pay down defenses that I want to really do. If I was going to try to pay down a defense, it would probably either be the Steelers or the Bucks. If that helps you guys. Like, if you had to go down to a 4 defense, those are the ones I'd look at. The defenses I am looking to play this week, obviously Patriots at 4,300. Now, that's pricey, no doubt. But this defense has been incredibly consistent. And, I mean, dear God, the Redskins are a fucking dumpster fire. So, I mean, yeah, they're on the road. I suppose that's one bad thing. They're pricey. But the Redskins are just, I mean, Colt McCoy, come on. So, you know, the question with the Patriots is, can you pay up for it? Is it going to screw your lineup up to play them? If it's not, I love it. Bears. The London games are always sort of fluky, so there is that factor. But, man, 3,800 for the Bears against Oakland with Mack looking to show up John Gruden. I'll take some of that. Eagles, 3,700 against the Jets and Falk at quarterback. Listen, the Eagles have some weaknesses. The Jets could attack if they're smart. Jets are not particularly smart. Eagles, Jets. The Eagles are at home, by the way. Nothing wrong with that at all, that play at all. 70. The problem with it is at 3,700 units, I'd rather just spend an extra 100 and play the Bears or maybe pay up to the Patriots. Now, paying down a little more, the Saints at 3,400. Now, granted, the Bucks are hot, but Jameis is a guy who throws picks, so I think there's some merit to that one, although I don't know if I'm going to be on it very much. The Vikings, 3,200 units at the Giants, definitely some upside there. The Bills, 3,100 units, and that's at Titans. So the Bills going up against Mariota, definitely some possibilities there. I sort of like the Titans against the Bills in reverse, taking the home team. Allen's going to play, but obviously he's mistake prone. So both of those defenses. I mean, really, how do you feel about that game? If you feel strongly about one team or the other, I think playing their defense makes sense. And then there's the Jaguars at 3K. At Carolina, they're on the road. I don't like that. No Ramsey, so nobody's going to be on them if that matters to you. But the bottom line is, you know what? If they can get in Kyle Allen's head a little bit, he could become a turnover machine. I don't think that's a stretch at all. So those really, Patriots, Bears, Eagles, Saints, Vikings, Bills, Titans, Jaguars, those are the defenses I'm focused on right now, with probably more focus at the top with the Bears and the Patriots when I can find a way to pay up for them. And that's going to do it for Podcast A, DFS, Week 5. Like I said, I'm going to be out for the rest of the afternoon. I'll be updating the seasonal rankings tonight. Jim Hacken and I will have our show tomorrow morning. I'm going to have an article coming up on EEI late this afternoon, early evening, that'll detail some of my favorite plays. Not my core, but just like a couple running backs, couple receivers that I like. And then tomorrow, after the fantasy football hour, you can probably look for this around 10:30. I will have a second podcast where I'm really going to get into my Titan core. Hopefully, we're only talking about maybe 15 players at that point. So that's going to do it for the Saturday version of the Rotobomb podcast. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you had a good week last week. I actually had a good week. I shared some of that with you guys on Tuesday. I have a tendency to put a lot of guys in the afternoon games if I like the matchups, and I liked the afternoon matchups last week. So I was sitting there for about 5 hours looking at a big zero on my payout because my guys hadn't really played. And then luckily, and the guys I had in the earlies didn't really light it up. And then luckily, my 4 o'clock players really did well, and all my cash teams hit. Hopefully, you guys played a lot of the same core guys that I had, and you're coming off a good week too. I didn't hear anybody complaining, so hopefully that's the case. And I'm going to do my best, really, to tighten this thing up so we can feel good about our cash lineups and our GPP reaches for week 5. So that's going to do it for the Saturday pod. Thanks for listening. Don't take no mess with those lineups. And, you know, focus. Let's win some money this week.